Hey everybody, I'm back. This time I'm recording outside. It's kind of nice, it's nighttime. Coming up around 7:30 on a Saturday night. As I said in a previous episode, which was only about 3 or 4 minutes, I want to talk to you about premonitions. When I was 6 years old, I went to the Kentucky School for the Blind. Now, I only stayed there maybe, I was only there for maybe 3 months. It was a terrible experience, and I didn't last long there for a lot of reasons. Most of it was, a lot of it had to do with racism, and I was the only black person there, and they were really mean to me. I was never been away from home, and I wasn't, had a lot of anger. I didn't stay very long, and most of the people, at least in, from my six-year-old perspective, were very mean to me. However, there was one lady, a dorm parent, who was the only person that I thought perceived as being nice, or at the very least, nicer than most. And when I was six, this place was about maybe 300 miles from where I lived, and I was moved into a, what they call a cottage, or like a dormitory system. Okay, so for 2 weeks and during the month of October, I don't remember what year this was. I was 6 years old. I had a series of nightmares or dreams. And in these dreams, they were of a lady on fire. Now, I understand that I'd never seen a real fire, at least, this is when I was six, so I'd never gone camping, and, I mean, I guess I'd seen fire on Gunsmoke or something, but, but I'd never really seen real fire or anything. And I want you to also understand that the dream was, or the dreams, it wasn't like I was watching a body burn up or anything, because I had no idea what that would look like. It was more how it would be if you were looking at an animation, two-dimensional. But of course, I remember that the worst part of the dream was that I could hear the sounds of the fire and the smells. And they were a mixture of smells that I'd never encountered before. But believe me, it felt really real. And I think it lasted for about 2 weeks. Every night I'd wake up screaming. And in the dream, it's hard to paint it, to tell you about it, because it's been so long ago. But in the dream, I don't know where I am, but I'm watching this. I'm in the room with the lady. But I'm not part of it. I'm not on fire. But I feel this intense heat and the smells of burning what I presume to be plastic and wood and, of course, hair. And she's not screaming. She's walking through the house. It would be as if you took gasoline, doused a person with it, and set them on fire, okay? Like a ball of fire, only this particular ball of fire that's walking, it was defined, so you could see the outline of the lady. And I don't remember how long. I think that, you know, it's funny. I do remember waking up and screaming. And, of course, I was in a dormitory with about, let me think, maybe 18 other boys. So they were not happy with me. And it was the person that was being burned, or that was, although, you got to understand, I'm telling you these things now. But at 6 years old, you can't put these things into the proper perspective. So, to me at that time, and I'm going to go back and try to express it from that perspective, death was not part of the dream. It wasn't like I thought she was going to die or anything, okay? That wasn't part of it. It was just the fact that she was on fire from just one big halo of fire. And everything in the room was on fire, okay? And you say, well, why did it scare you? I'm not exactly sure now, except that I remember thinking it was near Halloween, and I just thought it was scary, okay? But I didn't have this feeling that she's going to die. I don't want you thinking that that was part of it. I wasn't that sophisticated. So anyway, I woke up night after night, and it was variations on the same dream. It was always the same dream. Sometimes she would walk in on fire. Sometimes, I'm going back, I'm trying to remember how... Maybe I was scared about being on fire too. I remember being terrorized or thinking that I thought it was that the dorm was going to catch on fire. You know, there was a lot of pumpkins and things like that going on at the time. And when people would come in and the adults would run into the dorm and find out what was going on, of course I didn't tell them very much because everybody was already angry at me for waking up everybody. And I know that they thought I had a lot of anger issues back then. So I know they didn't like me very much. And I think I mentioned to them that I was dreaming about a fire. But of course, I never told them the details. One, because the person that was on fire, of course, was the only person I liked. And I just didn't see the point in it. I don't know. I just wasn't that sophisticated. Anyway, it got really, really bad. They sent me to a psychologist or a child therapist or something. Remember, this is back in the 70s and in Kentucky. So let's just keep this straight, all right? So when I was actually talking like you know, but they thought I was either trying to get attention or something, or that I had some unexpressed anger towards somebody. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. If, you know, this woman that I was dreaming about was the only one that ever showed me any kindness. And they didn't give me any, if they gave me any pills, I don't remember now. It's just been too long. But I know that I was convinced that the dorm or something, we were going to, somebody would, somehow a fire would start, and I just was convinced of it. And I also knew that this particular dream or nightmare, call it what you will, seemed more real than anything up to that point. Now, you may think, how can you think back that far? Just trust me, this was a watershed moment here. I actually thought I was going insane. It got so bad that I just was afraid of even going to sleep. I remember not wanting to go to sleep, because I was afraid if, you know, I couldn't have the dream. All right. That lasted about 2 weeks, and mercifully, and I think it must have been around sometime in November, the dream stopped. They didn't stop all at once. Instead of being every night, they came to be every other night. And about 2 or 3 weeks, it stopped. I didn't forget them. And, of course, I saw this woman, who was a dorm parent, by the way. I saw her, you know, she was, I think they were, in those days, they were on 2 days, off 2 days. And I never told her it was her I saw on fire. But though there's a part of me that thinks I did, but if I did, I can't remember. It's just been too long. All right, let's move forward then. So, this was in 1970, early 70s. And it would most, I didn't stay at the school very long. Okay, life happens, right? And in 1990, and again, I don't know exactly when it happened, so I'm just going to, you know, approximate. Let's say 1998. I think that's right. Somehow I found out. I don't remember how it happened, but this woman's apartment caught on fire because of a smoldering cigarette. And she was damn near cooked alive. I mean, I'm just going to put it bluntly. They were able to drag her out of the second story apartment, but not before 95% of her body was burned. And, I mean, she was just, it disintegrated her apartment. I mean, it was an inferno. I think I said it was like 8 fire trucks to keep the place. I wasn't there. I wasn't even in town at the time. But, she was basically cooked alive. And I'm going to jump forward a little bit here and say that I think she only lived about 6 months after that. You know, once you have that kind of physical injury, you know, your resistance, your immune system shot, the kidneys shut down, she was on dialysis. She's getting tons of, you know, when your skin is your only real barrier against infections and stuff. And so when your skin is damaged like that, it's just a matter of time. I think she lived maybe 6 months on. Or maybe it was a year, maybe, I'll just say 6 to 8 months. It wasn't long. But of course, I didn't hear about this 6 to 8 month part. When I heard about it, it just happened, and I must have already been out here in California at the time. I can't remember. Yeah, I know I was. I know I was. But anyway, so time passed. At the time when I learned about her, the fire and everything, and frankly, I thought she'd given up smoking. But well, you never know. Anyway, she would have been about, let me think, she couldn't have been more than 64, 65, and maybe 68, now I think about it, because she would have been in her 30s, 40s when I knew her back in the day. All right. So, let's see, what happened next? So then, Oh, I know that. Okay, at the time, all I was thinking about is that, you know, usually in most people's lives, if they're fortunate, you don't know many people that have tragic endings or in their lives, you know, like people getting shot or having their legs cut off by a train. You just don't see that kind of stuff. You know, it happens on TV. But all I can remember thinking is, wow, you know, that's just really terrible. And she was always part of my childhood memories, of course, because she was, you know, I wasn't particularly close to her as I got older, but she was nice to me when I was a kid when nobody else was. So you kind of, I mean, I'd run into her every now and then over the next 25 years or so, maybe at Christmas or along around the city. I knew her. She knew me. I mean, you know, but that kindness thing, I was a little kid at the time. All right. 2004. I don't know why. Or maybe it was 2003. Nah, it would have been 2004. Anyway, I was planning on going back home, back to the city, for a visit. And I don't know why, but I thought, well, maybe I should look up some old friends of mine or people that I know. And I had completely forgotten about her death, which had happened again, like I say, somewhere around 97, 98. I'd just forgotten it. I don't know how I forgot. Because in my mind, you know, it was so outside the norm that it just didn't happen. It didn't, call it denial, call it whatever you want. So I didn't have her phone number, but I did have her son's phone number, who, by the way, was not a very nice person when he was younger, but as he got older, but that's a different story. He's a good man now. All right. So I called him up and said, hey, you know, how's your mom doing or whatever? And he said, Mark, don't you remember? You know, she's dead. She's gone. And I swear to you, I did not remember. I said, excuse me? I said, how did she die again? You know, it's like a bad dream. You know, you kind of know it, but you don't know it. And then he said, she died in a fire. She was burned up. And when he said that, I finally equated her fate to what I had dreamed about for about 2 weeks when I was 6 years old. And the two came together like thunder. It was amazing. I think it was the only time to date that I've had spontaneous tremors. And I told him I'd have to talk to him later. And I didn't even wait for him to reply. It freaked me out. It really messed me up. I couldn't believe it. Because even though I had known about her death in 98, 97, I didn't remember the dream. Or the dreams, I should say. It was just a different... And somehow when he said the word fire, she was burned up in a fire. It just elicited that series of nightmares I had. And there was no doubt in my mind that the 2 weeks of hell I went through was a premonition of what was to happen to her. Now, of course, you know, when you're 6 years old, or anytime, sometimes we don't know things before. This was not deja vu now. You understand the difference between deja vu and premonitions. This is about knowing that something was going to happen. I'd rather think of it as being, if you think back to the time of Jesus, and people thought the last days, you know, whenever we're talking in the Bible or any prophecy, it's not about the prophecy, it's when it's going to take place, right? That's always the challenge. Here we are 2,000 years after his death, and the last days, we don't know when they're going to be. But it's kind of interesting. But anyway, that happened in 2004. And you should also know that I talked to him, and it elicited that image in my mind, I had completely forgotten about the dreams. It was amazing. And it was weird. So that was definitely a premonition. I can tell you, with all honesty, that I think in my lifetime, if I were to go to be using the harshest lens I can put on this, I've probably had 3 premonitions. And the other two were positive. And again, at the time when I was a little kid, this didn't seem negative. It just seemed weird. Why am I bringing this up for today's show? Here's the reason. Because last night I think I had another premonition. Or at least it felt as though I was looking into something in the future. Only this time it had to do with me. Understand that what I just related to you had nothing to do with me. I knew it at the time. This one, though, had to do with me. And in this premonition, and you all know my dreams, and they're kind of weird. This was not weird, okay? This was normal. So that's how I know it's not exactly one of mine. But I'm on this airplane, a small one. You know, kind of had those little one seat on one side and two seats on the other. I hate those planes. And I'm flying into Denver, but I'm heading back to California, and I think L.A. And she comes to the aisle of the plane and informed me that my connecting flight will meet me as I land. And why they would come and tell me that, I don't know. It was a weird dream, and I remember in the dream that I remember thinking how angry I was that I couldn't take anything on board with me or something. I had lost my itinerary. It was just a weird... There's nothing... Listen, for those of you who've heard me describe my dreams before, I got news for you. You're going to be very disappointed. There's no shock value coming out of this. There's nothing weird. Although the stewardess was, or flight attendant, she wasn't bad looking, a little too much makeup, but yeah, it's all right. And that's it. And I remember thinking when I woke up today, and I haven't felt this way, and I mean this, I think the last of my three premonitions, if I'm talking about, I've had three premonitions that I could say that have come to pass. And I think the last one would have been back in 82 or 83. So it's been about, it's been about 20 some odd years. But this was another one of those, and I've had the feeling all day that it was just not, it was a dream, of course, but it felt as if you were tuning into something on an analog system. You know, you'd have to dial the tuner and you get the fuzziness, and all of a sudden it kind of tunes in and then it just kind of tunes out. It was like that. It was weird. So I just wanted you to think about that and wanted you to know about it. I wonder how many of you have had premonitions, and if you have, maybe you should share them with us. It might be interesting. And I'm thinking about in the future doing a show with people who can, you know, talk about the premonition. They don't sound like a bunch of nuts, okay? And if you have any premonition about the lottery, be sure and send me an email on that one too. That's it for today. And remember to make a joyful noise. Thanks for listening. And I will talk to you soon. Good to be back. Take care. Bye-bye.